Okay. If a person holds the parts that they have taken birth on at birth are real, if the person holds that they have holds that the parts that they have taken on at birth are real, then they will be unable to achieve liberation nirvana through meditating on the qualities of being impermanent, suffering, and so on. When they say impermanent, suffering, and so on, what are they referring to? Huh? The four Arya truths, and specifically the four aspects of the first Arya truth. Okay, what's the first Arya truth? To the suffering. So it has four aspects, right? Midak, dungyal, tomba, dagme. Say midak, dungyal, tomba, dagme. Midak, dungyal, tomba, dagme. Midak, dungyal, tomba, dagme. It's very specific. Okay. Change, impermanent, suffering, empty, and selfless. Right? So what he's saying is, this is interesting. You could meditate on the fact that someone is impermanent and that they are suffering, for example. But if you didn't, if you still perceived that person the wrong way, you wouldn't achieve nirvana. Okay? Which means they wouldn't be what kind of truth at that point? They wouldn't be Arya truth, okay? So really he's saying the difference between an Arya meditating on someone's impermanence and somebody else meditating on the same person's impermanence and the results they would get from that, okay? And he's suggesting that if it's really an Arya truth, meaning if you just saw emptiness directly and then you meditate on these four aspects, you could reach nirvana fairly fast. And if you haven't seen emptiness directly at all, and you meditate on the same things, you're not going to get very far. Which means that almost every Lam Rim meditation is useless. Why? let's do it. One, two, three. Wait, up or down? Yeah, why? Because in your mind, you said Geshe Michael went crazy. He said Lam Rim was useless. And then I'm going to say, it is so useless. Okay, one, two, three. Dan ta, ben na, dril ben, hu me la, hu me, le ne pa, sun ne, mi ta, dung ya, sok su, gom pe, hu me, Ngā la chāpa mendopa tabu imbeche. Say mendopa. Mendopa. La with a da under it is a heavy prenasal. And it's even heavier because there's an open vowel in front of it. Mi. It doesn't have a suffix letter. So mendop. If you say midokpa, they'll say you're not a clod of earth. Okay? And if you say mendopa, it means what? Yeah, cannot be stopped. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. Mindokpa. Okay? So here we go. To do the dare tell properly, you have to see what he said just before that. It is so the case that they won't. You see what I mean? Won't what? Be able to achieve nirvana. Okay, it is so the case that they won't, because it's just like the case with a, what's true like in Tuku? Emanated. Yeah, emanated. Okay? What's Pume? What's Bu? Bu means a worm. Do you get why women are called Bumes? Think about it. But all the words for women in Tibetan are derogatory. Kemen means lower birth, which is the one word. And then Pume means penisless. And so that kind of reflects the culture of India and Tibet in one way. You know. And I suspect that woman is something similar. if I had to guess, I don't know. It might mean lesser man or something. You know what I mean? I don't know. But Lama Christi is changing all that. Okay. And it is so the case that they won't, because it's just like the example of a chupe pume. A woman who is emanating, like from a naga. Like a naga decides to emanate a woman. Or you can say, what do you call it when you produce a false appearance of a woman by magic? Like I do woo 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 and there's a woman standing here. A conjured up woman, okay? Of a woman who's been conjured up. If you take her as real, if you take her as being real, and those of you who care, say ngunepa. Ngunepa. Hi, hi, hi. Ngunepa. Means it's the colloquial for real. You know, this the lu lopu ngunepa yina. Yina means a question, right? The lu lopu ngunepa yina. Is this a real lu lopu? Okay, is this a real lu? You're asking a question. Ngunepa means real. What's lu? Lu. No, this is a French word. Lou is this cookie company. Lopu means a schoolboy. Lopu Munepa means a real schoolboy chocolate chip cookie and not like the Safeway fake ones. Sure, that's the real. That's the real one. Okay. La patrie a fruier. Okay, if you take her as being real, okay, and then try to meditate on how she is impermanent, suffering, or any of the rest, which refers to the rest. Don't bother me. Okay. Because we already did the mita dunya, okay? Okay, if you take her as being real and then try to meditate on how she's in permanent suffering or any of the rest, it's not going to Ari Mindopa. See? It's not going to stop your desire for a pumengu. Yeah, for a real woman. That's a very delicate statement, okay? That's a very delicate statement. I'm not sure it's totally right myself. I asked you to think about it the whole week. I'm sure you did. But if I emanate a false woman here by magic, or I project one of the 3D projector, right? And there's a woman standing. And I say, meditate on how she's going to be. I always tell people before you get... before you make a commitment with a girl, meet her mother and see what she looks like, because that's what your girlfriend's going to look like, you know? And then they're like, no, you know? But that's impermanence. They're going to look just like their mother if you stay with them long enough. You know what I mean? So if I say, you know, this girl looks beautiful to you, but, you know, think about her mitapa. Think about how she's going to change over time. Then would it lessen your desire for her? It would. I mean, it would. It already did. What I just told you, you'd already canceled 3 girls. You know, it does. It seems to me to work. I don't know. But let's see where it's going. We're going to talk about it. Let's read this together. You ready? Which way are we going? Why? Because Geshe Michael still doubts. Geshe Michael is still saying in his mind, I don't quite think so. So the other guy's going to come back with, Kedip Dhammadagya says, no, really, it's just, that's the way it is, man. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Dertha laksam tembe do tsik sal du trang ba le pena mi la la shi ki gyu ma ken hi ro ma chung e se gyu ma ken hi tru pe pu me tong ne de cha ki sen ke be de cha ki sen ti ne kor ki jik shin bak sa wa de oh boy it is so the case There's the Shesungbe chair, okay? That's the end of the reason. Okay, three paragraphs later, the end of the reason. So, it is so the case because we see the following, what do you call it? Oh, quotation? Yeah. In the Tlaksam Tembe Do. Yeah, the sutra which teaches what? Yeah, personal responsibility. Tlaksam, right? Tlaksam says what? Nobody showed up today to make adobe bricks. Yeah, I'm going to do it by myself. And to survive in the world, you got to have it. Okay? More specifically, I'll save the world because no one else seems interested. Okay? No one else is really working that hard on it. So, okay, I'll do it. All right? Okay. You need that just to be a Dharma person anyway, or to make any kind of Dharma center or yoga center. Or don't wait for someone to help you because it's not going to happen, and then you just do it. You know? Then people will come later. It is something, because we see the following quotation in the sutra on personal responsibility. Okay? So you can kind of, on means shows, right? Or you see what I mean? In English, that's how we say it. As quoted in You Help Me. What's it say? As quoted in Siksa. What's Siksa? Clear words. By whom? Master Chaitanya. It's his other commentary on the root text on wisdom, right? How do they differ? How does clear words differ from entering the middle way, which is the text we're studying? Yeah, Siksel is more a word by word. You notice that Chandrakirti, Master Chandrakirti, isn't necessarily giving you all the wording of the root text. He's just giving you ideas. Okay. So as quoted in clear words, in Sanskrit, Prasannapada. Okay. Take, for example, the reaction that we see in a number of observers. As a magician, what do you call it? Conjures up, yeah. What do you say? As a magician, casts his spell. Mm. these people see a woman which has actually been conjured up by the magician, right? Mm. And they durchaki semke, durchaki semke. Yeah. So what do you have here? You have the word semke. What does semke mean? It's the word for bodhicitta. But what you have here is a colloquial usage of the same word. It just means to develop an attitude. So for example, if you wanted to explain to one of your students what semke meant, you could go to this quotation. It's like, what was that? Somewhere in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, or somewhere in a text, they use pratyahara as pulling the string out of your nose when you're doing that kriya. And they say, pratyahara the string. You see? Withdraw the string. And that's a common usage of a word that's very important elsewhere for withdrawing your senses from the world. But there you see a real reference to pratyahara. What does pratyahara mean? It means to pull out or withdraw. And here you get a real sense of what semke means. Because this is not bodhicitta. He's just saying, those people will semke desire. So how do you want to translate it? People who's really horny guys watching a magician who pop creates a playboy girl on the stage, they will get desire semke. How do you want to translate it? These people see a woman and they... But give me a colloquial use. I mean, don't make it philosophical. They feel desire. They feel desire. That's how we say it in English. We don't say they develop the mind of desire. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's great. And they are aroused. Okay. Ti. Ti means, it's a very specific verb that means what an ivy or a, what do you call it? Climbing plant? What do you call it? A vine does to a stick. It like...
Twice.
Yeah, so that arousal binds their mind. It. How do you want? And then jikshin baksawa, they get all flustered. Is great, flustered, because jik literally means feared. You know, like jikje, bhairava. They get like almost you know, and baksawa means they lose it. What did you say? Yeah, they get flustered, and they are aroused. And then, how do you want to say? They are tipa, their mind is tipa by desire, you see? Yeah, their mind gets what? It's got to be something like taken over. I like entangled. Possessed is not bad. Their minds then. I like Michael's thing, possessed by desire, you see? We need two verbs. Flustered is good. They become blank and blank. He said almost like, yeah, but no, they already got turned on. This is what happens next. They get all, you know, they start doing stupid things, like boys do. You know. Flustered and nervous. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I like, who said that? Who did the agitation? Good. And they get, their minds are then possessed by desire, and they get agitated. They get flustered and not agitated. Which is the fun, you know, it's supposed to be ironic. Why? They're having all these reactions to somebody that doesn't exist. Right? Who would do that? All right, Geshe Michael. Your anger and desire, jealousy, chin. Okay. Okay, you ready? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Ten le lang ne song te te song ne kyang hu me de ni la ni du pa yi la che ching ni ta pa da dung el wa da tong ba da da me pa yi la che na. And then they lang from their ten. Ten is the same as den, G-D-A-N. Yeah. What's the Sanskrit for G-D-A-N, den? Asana. Okay, asana, seat. So if you ever go to Lama Sharon's Ganon's class, he's always saying, oh, asana means seat. And in Tibetan, it's translated with den. And ten is just another form of that. What's the very most beautiful thing where ten occurs in the whole Tibetan literature is where they say ten tok chik. Say ten tok chik. What's that mean? Didn't come. In one sitting. But what's it mean? Yeah, somebody says, I'm fed up with all these classes and I'm fed up with all this sadness and I'm fed up and I don't want to do any more handstands. And I just want to get enlightened. So I'm going over to that mesquite tree and I'm going to then talk to you. I'm going to sit down and I ain't standing up either until I die or I get enlightened, period. That's it. You know, that's called then talk to you. It's a kind of like resolution in your mind, right? I'm going to do then talk to you. You know, I either die there under the tree or I get enlightened. Like that. It's a very beautiful thing. That's the only place you see then much. Okay, so... And so then, they leap from their seats and come to the woman, right? But now suppose that they begin to yilache. Yilache pa. Say again? No, that's yiche. This is yilache. It's a verb that means to direct your mind towards something. To bring to mind. That's a good way. That's good. But now suppose that they begin to bring to mind the fact of how this same woman is midukpa. Now, what's dungel mean? Suffering. So what's the first duk mean? Yeah, got it? That's, you got to know that if you're a translator. Dungel means suffering, bad. Duk by itself means attractive. Why? I have no idea. But you better be careful, right? Because you might say the opposite, okay? But suppose you're like one of those guys who's like, huh, you know, and comes up to a woman, and suddenly they remember the last Buddhist class they had. And they're like, no, I'm supposed to yilache about her midukpa. You know, how she's unattractive. You know, how she's hideous. You know, strip away her skin. Strip away 12 inches of her skin, see how pretty she is. Just peel it off. You know, what's half a millimeter under there? You know, it looks like beef, you know. Bring to mind the fact of how this same woman is, how do you say, repulsive, okay? And how repulsive, I'm going to put a full stop, a big stop there, and you'll see why. And how she is, mitapa? Impermanent. Here, impermanence, okay. And how she is, dunyawa? Suffering. Tongba? Empty. And dogmem has no nature of her. Okay? You have to study the... I was thinking, you know, should we go to Abhidharma and study what the difference between the third and fourth aspects of the First Noble Truth are, and I probably won't do it. But if you keep asking, I might do it. Okay? So, okay. They got all excited, you know, and they approached the woman, probably going to ask her for her email address, right? And then they suddenly they remember their last Buddhism class, and they're trying to focus: is she truly gonna be like her mom? Is she truly pain or the source of pain? You know, is she truly empty of anything of her own nature? You know, they suddenly remember their last Buddhist class, and they try to focus their mind on those qualities of her. Okay, got it? One, two, three. Rikki pu de ji nyam du sem. Ni de yan da par shupa yin nam. Un te lo par shupa yin. What's Rikki pu? Yeah, O son of noble family. Who's saying that? Who's saying it here? Yeah, you're right. Say it louder. Yeah, the Buddha is a... This all is being spoken in a sutra. This is all Lord Buddha addressing one of his disciples, right? And he says, oh, son of noble family. Jinyam disen. Jinyam disen. What's he usually say, like in the diamond cutter? I mean, jigme. What's he usually say? She's asleep. What's he usually say? What do you think? Yeah, what do you think, man? What's the only thing? What do you think? Me day means that person. Who? What person? The guy who just remembered his last Buddhism class and is trying to focus on this woman in the right way. Okay? What do you think? Is he Yandaparshupa? Or is he Lokparshupa? What do you think it means? Is he Yandaparshupa? Or is he Lokparshupa? Huh? Meaning what? But what, how would you translate Yandaparshupa? Yeah, yeah. Is he... Yeah, is he headed the right way or is he headed the wrong way? Okay? Jupa. Okay? Or Lokpa. Lokpa means wrong. Right? Like Lokta and Yangdapita. Yeah, same. We would say, does he, let me see, is he at this point headed in the right direction? Nam means what? Yin nam, or unte you should learn. Unte is ancient for, or would rather, okay? We got Alistair in class finally, so. Or, is he rather headed in the wrong direction? Okay? What would you say? You'd say he's headed in the right direction. Right? Huh? Hey, let's see. You ready? One, two, three. So pa chom den de kam pu me ma chi pa la ni du pa yi la che chi. Ni tapa da dungawa da tomba da dagme pa yila giba di namba tsumba de ni lok lak so. How do you spell the verb GSOL? I mean, what? It should be sulwa. It should always be sulwa, right? Jingi lap to sul. Jingi lap to sulwa. But he's misspelled it, right? You can't have pa follow an L in this verb. You cannot have pa follow an L. It's not allowed. Rolwa, drolwa, you know, dolwa. So it's misspelled, right? Right? No, it's past tense of sowa in the ancient language. Huh? Say again. It's the ancient past tense, which, like English, how do you indicate past tense in English usually? You add ed at the end of the word. So the ancient Tibetan had a d at the end of for the past tense. It was g s o l d. It was a secondary suffix d. It dropped out of the written language. The d disappeared from the written language, but its effect remained. So p is required after a d. So he says sulpa. It's very beautiful. That proves there used to be a d. You see what I mean? And it's what tense? Yeah, now you know it's past tense. So he said, he offered the following words. And then he offered the following words. Oh, Chomdende, conqueror. Suppose a certain person brings to mind how a woman who is in fact Machipa. Chipa is the ancient word for yupa. Yeah, doesn't even exist. Suppose a certain person brings to mind how a woman who in fact doesn't even exist is repulsive. You see what I mean? And how she is impermanent and suffering and empty. And what do we say? And lacks any nature of being herself. How's that? So that person, I would say, is headed in the wrong direction with his abhitsumba. Abhitsumba. What's sumba? What's sundu? Jutsundu means his efforts, right? So this is the same, abhitsun. Like in his, how would you say it as a noun? With his, he's trying to see her as impermanent. He's trying to see her as suffering. He's trying to see her as repulsive. Yeah, but stronger. Noun. Endeavor's close. What's the other one you said? Effort. Yeah, okay, effort. With his, how do you make it? Is it an adjective to make it a strong effort or something? With his heartfelt efforts. Who said her? I like that. I mean, he's really trying to see. He's trying not to have this primitive reaction to a beautiful woman. He's trying to respond to her properly and think, oh, she's dying, she's suffering. She needs my help. I have to save her life, you know. He's not just thinking, oh, I'd like to take her out tonight, or something like that. You see what I mean? Okay, by the way, how come we aren't having a nice debate right now? Why are we going through this stuff? What is this stuff? It's the lung in lungrik. Okay, got it? He proved already that he basically proved that you had to see emptiness to get rid of your negativities. He proved it with logic. And then he said, what? Now I'll give you some scriptural quotations if you don't believe me. Like if you're just such an irrational, illogical person, and you want me to just lay some scripture on you, I can do that too. So he's quoting Lord Buddha. If that's not good enough for you as a Buddhist, you know, okay? So he's starting with the heavy guns. He might go later to lighter people like Arjuna. Okay, so one, two, three. Chom den de ki ka tselpa Riki upu dina Ge long da Ge long ma Ge nyen da Ge nyen ma Ka chi A ke ba sing Chung we che nam la Mi du pa Yi la che si Mi ta pa Du ngao wa Tomba Dadmepa Yila Chepa Kayimba Peda Kya Peda Dawa Tawa Chao. Why isn't it Katsalwa? There used to be a D there. Okay? He responded, okay? And the conqueror bespoke. It's that old. Katsalpa is that old. You have to translate it that way. It's ancient. It's ancient, ancient honorific. It's meant to sound like the Old Testament, okay? In the King James. Okay. And the conqueror bespoke. Think, O child of noble family, of certain monks and certain gelongma nuns and certain genyen, lay people with lifetime vows, right? Lay men with lifetime vows and lay women with lifetime vows. Think of the ones who, listen, they are bringing to mind how Chö things which never started and never happened, they are trying to bring to mind how things which never started and never happened, right, are repulsive. Got it? He didn't say what? He didn't say they are trying to bring to mind how things are repulsive. He made it more powerful. He said they are turning their mind towards objects which never started and which in fact never happened. And they are meditating on the repulsive nature of those objects. They are good Buddhists. They are monks. They are nuns. They took lifetime vows. And they are focusing on objects which never happened and struggling to see that they are repulsive. Okay? And they are trying to bring to mind how these things are mitapa, impermanent, and dunyawa, suffering, and tomba, and empty, and have no nature of their own, okay? And lacking in it. Who said that? That was nice, any nature of their own. And they are just like those aroused. That's a pretty big insult for a nun and a monk, right? They are just like some horny guy in a strip show. They're no better. You see what I mean? They a magician's strip show, right? They are focusing on. They're like being very good Buddhists, and they heard that they're supposed to think that themselves, for example. So they studied Lama Chisa Maslamrim, and they got all these teachings about seeing themselves as impermanent. So they're focusing on themselves, and they're saying, they're giving like the 9 reasons for why they're going to die, and the 6 meditations on that, and they're doing all this stuff. But the thing they're focusing on isn't even there. Okay, so how effective can it be? You see what I mean? When a normal person does the first few meditations of the Lam Rim, they are focusing on something that doesn't even exist. How useful can it be? Okay? Yeah. I thought about it, but it's getting to be too many certains. Let them wonder why we left it out. Okay, maybe it's because there's only one. All right, and the rest are all Aryas. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Nga ni mi lumpo te da la lam gomba ino she mi ma te te da ni lo pa shu pa she jao. This is very difficult, so I'm going to ask Ben Kramer to try to translate it up to, you know. Is it Ngani? Yeah, me. Lumbo means fool. Okay, Lumbo means fool. Yeah, those fools, those people, those fools, deda. Those fools, Lam Gomba, Lam Gom, that they are practicing the path, Yino, Yin. Yeah. I say those people, those fools, are people who are practicing the path. I say that, Yino. Got it? She Mima. Mima. Ma means proclaim, like Chidagmawa, Vibhashika, Bhashika. Then what's it mean? I don't say. This is Lord Buddha making his proclamation, and it's the word proclaim. I don't proclaim that these fools are Lam Gomba, that they are practicing the Buddhism. Okay? Wow. Okay? These monks and nuns, you know, who are meditating on the impermanence of their... They're trying to apply the four audio truths to themselves. I don't say they are practicing the path. He's very powerful, right? The fools. And he calls them... He refers to his own ordained people as fools. Okay? So... I do not proclaim, right? That... These fools are practitioners of the path. Rather, I say that they are loparshupa dvara. Yeah, they're headed in the wrong direction. Okay, they are mistaken in their direction. Okay, how's that? Yeah, you could say that too. Shesumbichir, did Geshe Michael leave out the Shesumbichir? Is the hypertext they're going to go crazy? Huh? It was way back there, 3 paragraphs ago. Yeah? So that's when. Hang on 1 second, let me do 1 thing. There it is. There's the Yinbei chair. 5 paragraphs ago. It is so the case. Okay? Because. It's just the because. Got it? Okay, what's your question? Whether you want to sit following selection from instead of any change of quotation. Okay. And then what we really have to do is this thing. Word Perfect had a better way to do this. Okay. Because this is, it says quoting the whole thing? Why? Why are we indenting it? Yeah, from where? From a sutra. The students in the Buddha's time weren't, they were no fools, right? They answered pretty well usually. Yeah. My computer's running out of power. You're right. That would be a drag. You guys have the cords in my bag. But is there any place to plug it in? Okay. Okay. Thank you. You ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Nirlengi pumbo dambar sungne mita dungel soksu gompe daktin ki yomo mungyawa tsa min nupa yinki. This gets a little touchy. What's in Nirlengi pumbo? What's lemba mean? To take. What's nirlen pumbo? Pumbo means the parts of a person, right? Your body and mind. That you took on at birth. Okay? Which you took on at birth. Okay. Suppose then that a person believes that the parts of them that they took on at birth are real, and then try to meditate upon the fact that they are upon facts such as their being impermanent or suffering, they will not even be able to eliminate the manifest form. They will not even be able to eliminate just the manifest form of the mental affliction which holds these parts to be thought permanent or lasting. Okay? What's he saying? Like, yeah. It's a lower goal to understand that you're going to die. Right? It's a helpful goal, but it's a lower goal. Okay? You do your Lamrim meditations, the very beginning ones, and then you say, okay, I'm going to die. Therefore, I won't waste my time all day. I'll do something every day, every undertaking I ever start, even if it's just cooking a meal or walking across the room, I will not do it unless it has great meaning for saving all the world. Because I'm mitakpa. I just don't have time, you know. I'm not going to be here. Time goes like that, you know. Much less sit down and bullshit with somebody for 20 minutes. You see what I mean? I'm going to, every moment of my life, I'm going to do something that directly is benefit to other people. Because I'm mitakpa, right? So, thinking like that, will it remove your feeling that you won't die today? Will it remove your feeling deep down under there that you have time to walk across the room? Yeah, it won't. Okay? It won't. All right? If you dambasung. If in the bottom of your heart you think you're real. Okay? Like, you can do all the meditation you want, all the lama meditations you want, about how you're going to die today, right? Will it remove your feeling that you're not going to die today?
Not if you think you're real.
If in the bottom of your heart, you don't understand how you're being projected by yourself and your own karmic seeds, you won't even be able to reach that low goal of believing that you're going to die today. You see what I mean? That's very drastic statement, right? It means that all Buddhist practice by a person who doesn't really understand emptiness, maybe even as an Arya, is useless. It cannot lead to its stated goal. You can never achieve. All those people who said, I'm not going on to the next stage of the Lam Rim until I get that one. They never got past the first one. According to this, unless they were Aryas or close to Aryas. You see? Whatever they said or whatever they felt, they felt like, oh, I have impermanence now. I understand my impermanence now. I can go on to precious human rebirth or something, you know? And then he would say no. You know? They don't have it yet. They can't even, much less the seed, right? The bokchak. He said what? The manifest form. Like it coming in your mind strongly, I will live till tomorrow. I will live till tomorrow. You know? The thought that you hear in your own head, I will be here tomorrow. I gotta go to the hardware store in the morning and pick up those nails. Because I will be here tomorrow. You know? Still that thought comes up in their mind. Okay? Alright? Yeah. That's one of the beliefs. Okay. And then try. You're good. Let's go. One, two, three. Den zin gyu la denbe kansa ki nyelen ki humbo mita. Dung el sok su gombe tang zing ki nyomo ngung yur sam pong wa upa yin tim te te tar gombe she pa lok she ma yin be she. This sentence is mistaken. It's miscarved. If we have time, we should go look at the... You have to think of what he wants to say, and it doesn't say that, okay? It says, Denzin gila denbe kaza ki, a person who still holds themselves as being real, nyelengi pumbo mitak dungyel sosu gomba, if they meditate on the impermanence of their parts to themselves, tanzingi nyomongun gyuratsam, even just the manifest form of their tendency to hold that themselves as being permanent, they will not be able to eliminate even that. Is that our position? I'll say it again. Is it our position to say that a person who still holds himself as real and then tries to meditate on their own impermanence will never be able to eliminate even the manifest form of their tendency to think of themselves as permanent? Is that wrong, Luke? And then he said, Minupa Mayan. It's not the case that he's not able. It's got to be a carving. Or it has to be a... You're close. Or a kaching. It either has to be some guy saying, that's not true. Or it has to be a miscarving. Okay? But it's multiplied. The problem is multiplied by the fact that he gives a wrong reason also. Detar gombe shepa de lokshe mayim beecher. Because that kind of state of mind... In that kind of meditation, is a lokshe. Is it a lokshe? Is it a mistaken state of mind? As he's meditating on. It's a lokshe. It's a mistaken state of mind. Then he said, Mayan again. He said, it's not a mistaken state of mind. Or else the point above is wrong. Maybe this is Minki. Maybe it is the case that even if the woman is emanating and you meditate on her impermanence, you can get rid of manifest forms of thinking she's permanent, but not subtle forms of thinking she's permanent. Which do you think he's trying to say? Yeah, yeah. So the whole second part must have two miscarvings in it. You see? He probably wants to say, he just said you can't achieve nirvana, right? If you're meditating on the impermanence of this lady, but you don't understand that she's not real. You see, right? He said that, right? So probably he wants to say, as a clincher, he wants to say, you can't even get rid of your manifest forms of thinking about her as real. I mean, permanent. Got it? Unless you see that she's not real. Got it? So it's got to be a double carving error? Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. Let's see where he goes next. I'm going to take it as a double carving error, okay? And, yeah. Yeah. He said pong, and he didn't say suppress. He said eliminate. Okay, it's a different word. Nemba or nimba or yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take it as two errors. I'll give the scans to somebody who wants to look. I'll give you the scans. You have page number references like coming up somewhere. Maybe you can find some somewhere. I don't know. You can search for a piece in the database, and it'll give you the page number it's on. And then you go, but unfortunately, we have a different edition. But anyway, have fun. Okay. And that's true because and it is true. A person, and it is true that if a person who is still holding things, who still, to hold things as real in your mind. Meditates on how the heaps they have taken on at birth parts, right? Are impermanent, suffering, and so on, right? And it is true that if a person who still has the tendency to hold to things as real in their mind meditates on how they will still be unable to eliminate even the manifest form of their tendency, of the mental affliction, which is the tendency to hold that things are permanent. Because that particular state of mind, because the state of mind in that particular meditation is still a mistaken state of mind. Okay, got it? And I'm ignoring his mayin, and I'm ignoring his mayin. I'm ignoring his two mayin. Okay? And it makes more sense to me. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. They will not even be able to eliminate. That even makes it worse, okay? That makes it worse. That implies that the second should be the opposite of the first. It still doesn't make sense. Let's skip it and you check the scans, because it would just spend a lot of effort on it. It might be some mistake in the Tibetan up here, you know?
Would it suggest that that should be a min?
It could be. It could be. Yeah. It could be. And that would soften the message, you know? Saying, oh, you could get rid of really gross forms of thinking she's permanent, but you couldn't get rid of any subtle forms of thinking that she's permanent, okay? Which is, might be what he's saying, okay? It's not as powerful, right? Yeah. Same problem. I mean, that's why I fudged it at the beginning. I didn't mention them, right? I was just talking about the impermanence of the lady. Because if what he's saying is, if it's part and parcel with the four aspects of the First Noble Truth, that you are thinking of her emptiness and her lack of a nature, well, then how could you not think of that when you're examining her permanence? Good question. His address is Sarame Monastery, Plaza, 1578. I always say that if I want to lay it on him, you know. It's a good point. A Mahayana person would say, the Thomba and Dakme talked about here are probably Rangya Tupe Dzimba, Rangya Tupe Thoa. Empty of being self-supporting. Empty of being in control. Which is not real emptiness. That's how a Mahayana person, probably. Because this is an Abhidharma presentation of the four. Okay. Say again? Yeah. Then it'd be some kind of other form of Dakme. Yeah. Okay. All right. Because the higher schools complain to the Abhidharma school, you don't have a Thoma. They say, we have a Thomba, it's in the Four Noble Truths. In the first truth, we have a Thomba. They say, that's not Thoma. Okay, that's not real Thoma. Okay, got it? Normally, the lower schools are always talking about Dagmeba, Anatman, and they're not talking about Shunya. Okay. But they say, oh, no, we have a Shunya, it's in the Four Noble Truth thing. And they say, that's not a real Shunya. You know, that just means not in control. Okay, got it? All right, here we go. We need snacks by now. This is getting complicated. Who's got... Anybody? Okay, don't forget that the first word here is shen. Say shen.
Shen.
And it's not shen, which means a butcher. Okay, dulpa kidampa. Shenba means a butcher. Shen means what? Other. Shenyang means moreover. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Shen yang mi tak so chu du denba sune mi tak so su gombe yomong gyurwa re shi pangba de tse da ki tarpa topo yamba na. Stop there. Let's moreover examine the case of someone who meditates upon impermanence, even as they hold the view that impermanence and the rest of the 16 aspects, right, are real. Okay? Because of their meditation, They are Reshit. Say again? Yeah, yeah. For the time being. Able to bang, eliminate the manifest form of certain, I'm going to say certain mental afflictions. That would imply that the error in the text before, you know, that maybe he was saying you could eliminate. Okay. Eliminate the manifest form of secrecy. But suppose they... eliminate the manifest forms of their dimensions. But suppose that they think to themselves, I have tarpatobo. I have reached freedom. I have attained freedom. If I define freedom here, tarpa, moksha, as nirvana, is that true that they have attained freedom?
Yes.
Did they eliminate their mental afflictions forever?
No.
Yeah, just the manifest forms, and not even forever, and not their mental afflictions. Just for the time being, and just their manifest mental afflictions. Okay? Got it? Who are these guys? He's not talking about the woman being that they believe the woman is real. What do they believe is real? They believe that impermanence is real. Got it? This is different now. We're not talking about the lady anymore. They're doing their meditation on the impermanence of their body. They went to Lama Tisama's class and they are dutifully meditating on the impermanence of their body. Forget how they hold the body to be. Forget that they hold the body to be real. What are they holding? The impermanence is real. Okay?
And by implication, all four truths, all
69. Yeah. Get this, okay? This is the only brilliant thing I have to say tonight. Get this. I meditate on my body. I come up with the idea. I perceive finally that I'm going to die. Right? I finally get it. I'm going to die. But what that means to me is that a body out there is going to die, and not a body which is created by my own mental projections. Can I reach nirvana? Cool, right? I'm misunderstanding the idea of impermanence. I might as well be thinking I'm permanent. It doesn't matter. It's the same mistake. You see? It's not helping them. Got it? I'll say it again. You go through all this effort to figure out that you're impermanent. You've meditated on the Lama for years and years, and you finally decide, you wake up one day, you say, I'm going to die today, I have to get my ass moving. You've achieved that Lam Rim. We say you've achieved that Lam Rim. But your idea of what impermanence means is that out there, that body's going to get, all bodies have to get old and die because the chemicals break down and certain oxidizing of the cells. And you're perceiving impermanence to mean that. You're misunderstanding impermanence itself. Got it? You think the body's dying because of the oxidation of the cells, you know? You don't understand that the body is dying because your karma is wearing out. Got it? You don't even understand what impermanence means. So you got up and said, I'm going to die today, and you're still fucking wrong. Okay? No, you got it? Like, they're still where they started out from. You know, that's why a really great lama is sprinkling in what? Even in the first stages of the Lama Rim. They're sprinkling in emptiness. Like, you're like, stop talking about Nagarjuna already, Lama Christi. I had enough of all Lama Nagarjuna. Can't we do some Lama Rim? Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. No, you know, like, they are sprinkling in emptiness from the first day. I mean, we even had people now, they said, can you come to our country and talk? Yes. Can you stop talking about the pen thing? No. Will you talk about something else other than the pen thing? No. Are you sure you want to talk about it? Everybody heard the pen thing. We don't care. Got it? It's really bizarre. It means alarm. I don't know what it means. Okay. Okay, this is getting worse. Okay. 1, 2, 3. 대치포엔세 개와렌 그발톤네 산게키 찬추블라 이땐 니루에 로타케 대왕키 엔송드 개와 예바당 What's the difference between Chiwa and Poa? Yeah, they die and they move on. They die and they migrate. Okay? So, people like this die, begin to migrate, and suddenly see with their own eyes, right, that they are going to have to Kewalen. Take a rebirth. What did they think? What did they just think? Not tarpa topo nyam. I got to nirvana. I got to nirvana. Why did they think that? Because they got rid of the manifest malefactions. They were calm. They were nice. If the traffic didn't get too bad, they never lost their temper. Manifest mental afflictions were taken care of. Then they were so mellow from doing breathing meditation for 6 years. They were so mellow and laid back. They thought what? Tarpa topo. I got to liberation. Then they die. Then they get hit by the car. You know? And then they're like, what's going on, man? And then they start to see that they're going to take a rebirth. And they're like, oh, man. Do they blame themselves? No. And into their minds comes the wrong view that the enlightenment of a Buddha is not something. Now you wanted a Yiche Dvora. Here's a Yiten. It's the same thing. You tell me. Yiten and Yiche are the same. Che. You said before it was correct. They believe. Then Mirum. Mirum. Yeah, it's not something you should ever trust or believe in. Got it? This is Lord Buddha again. He's saying, look, there's people in the world, they do meditation on impermanence, but they don't understand what impermanence is. They misunderstand the nature of dying. They think it's the body getting old. And they don't understand it's the karma wearing out. Okay? So then they misunderstand that, but they meditate on it, that they're going to die, and then they get chill. They get really chill. Nothing bothers them. You know, like, I'm going to die anyway. My body will oxidize. And they get used to that. And then people get angry at them. They say, you're stupid, Geshe Michael. Or you're a fool, or something like that. And they're like, chill, man. That's cool. And they say, guy, that's cool. Geshe Michael, nobody can make Geshe Michael mad. You know? And then Geshe Michael starts to think, not tarpa topo. Oh, I must have reached nirvana. Nobody can upset me. You know? Why? Because I understood I'm going to die. You know, so I mean, okay, yell at me all day, I'm going to die anyway. You know, so they get very chill. And then they think, oh, I've achieved some big level, right? Then somebody hits them with a truck. They're still chill. You know, okay, you broke my skull open. I'm dying. No problem. I knew I was going to die. And But then suddenly they see they have to take a rebirth. And they get pissed off. No, like what Michael said. They get really irritated. They say, God, all those years they told me, Lama Chisama told me, meditate on impermanence. I did. I got it. I woke up every morning believing I was going to die that day. One day I was right, you know, and I still didn't get it mad. And I was supposed to not take any more rebirths. And then what's going on? Because now I'm taking rebirth. This Buddhism stuff is useless. This Buddhism stuff was all wrong. Okay? They get this lokta in their head. At the moment of death, not a good time to get it. Okay? Why? It's the karma which will trigger the next rebirth. That's the karma which will trigger the next rebirth. Okay? De Wang Ki, right? And by the power of this wrong view. They take a rebirth in the Nyanzong, in the lower realms. Yeah, it sounds like it could be that. Yeah, it sounds like that. Now I'm going to cover the yupa at the very end for those of you who care. The case which exists. And then drive the hypertext crazy. Like, will they be able to look two paragraphs down and find the yupa? Got it? Okay. So what they're describing is they're describing the disappointment that a person feels when they followed a wrong path, a slightly wrong path, for years and thought they were making some progress. Because that path was not imbued with a understanding of emptiness. Okay? And then they get disappointed. And that's more dangerous than anything, because then what happens? They get lokta. They say, this is all useless. They reject the path itself. So it's almost better if they had never heard of the path. It'd be less bad karma. Right? They reject the path itself. It's not just unkind to teach a person Lam Rim without sprinkling in emptiness. You are setting them up to fail later and gain a terrible bad karma of rejecting the whole Lam Rim. You see what I mean? When they can't sustain whatever little progress they make, because they misunderstand the person who's impermanent, and they misunderstand impermanence itself. Both of which are like a conjured woman. They don't even exist. The impermanence that they are spending their life working on, and the person they're thinking is impermanent in that way, neither one of those exists. So they're just like throwing time bombs in their practice. And they'll fail. At some point, they'll fail. Right? And then they'll gain this wrong view about the practice itself. That's the idea. Did you have a question, Aidan?
Yeah, isn't that the nature of
Mara, too? Yeah. I mean, Mara would probably really like you to... I'm sure they're pleased if you fail in your practice, but if you fail and reject the practice, they're even more pleased. Yeah. Like, that's really cool to them. The demons. Right? Let's go. You ready? Let's see how your accent is with popcorn. 1, 2, 3. Den shi rang xin ki ne pa men sun de dok pe den shi ne su ji ta wa xin de tong wa sun ba yin de. Moreover, it has been stated that if you realize directly that the four higher truths have no existence on their own, then you are viewing the nature of this poor truth just as it really is. I assume he went like that, okay? I don't know. I wasn't watching when he wrote it, okay? It's been stated that, yeah. Yeah, okay. So the point, the whole point you got to get is this. Why did they put the four Arya truths after the direct perception of emptiness? No, yeah, you see? Because you can't really practice them until you've seen emptiness directly. So does that mean we shouldn't do Lam Rim? You know, does that mean we shouldn't do Lam Rim? No. It's tempting to think that, it's tempting to say that you can meditate about yourself being impermanent before you see emptiness directly. But you won't really understand how to stop that impermanence. It's tempting to say that. I'll say it again. It's tempting to say, you can go ahead and meditate on your impermanence before you see emptiness, but you won't really know what impermanence means until after you see emptiness, directly. Meaning, you are impermanent because your karmic seeds are wearing out and you haven't reinvested them. You haven't sustained them. You're cruising on old karma. And so your body's getting older. If you had used your body's vitality as it occurred to reinvest those seeds for that vitality, you wouldn't be getting older. You see? So really, the only way you can really meaningfully meditate on impermanence is if you already understand how your seeds are projecting your life. Because that's the only time you can do anything about it. But I think he would go even further. I think he would, that's what he's saying. He's saying, it's even worse than that. You will take the impermanence to be something that it could never be. You will think your body's getting old because of hours, or because of the change in the chemicals in the body. You will attribute the body's aging to things that have nothing to do with the body's aging. Like anything that a medical person would tell you has nothing to do with the body's aging. So not only will you not understand how not to age, that's not the point, he says. You won't understand how you are aging. Got it? It's bad. It's sad that people aren't understanding how to not age. But it's worse that they don't understand how they're aging. Got it? They can't even properly appreciate how they're aging. You see? Much less get out of the aging process. Got it? So they're doubly hopeless. They're doubly sad to look at. That's what he's saying. Okay? It's a sad situation. You sit down, you go and study some kind of Buddhism where they're not teaching emptiness clearly or correctly, and they have you doing years of meditation on impermanence of your body, and you by definition, you can't get anywhere. You're not going to say anything? Well, I believe a good Buddhist should never use the word by definition. Okay, I got away with it, so that's okay. All right. Nobody noticed, okay. Brandon was sleeping. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's do it for me. 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. Drink break. Do you know what bhikkhu is? Bhikkhu? It's a cool word in Buddhism, and you don't have it in other... It doesn't exist in English. It's just a cool word. Bhikkhu means to withhold your Dharma knowledge in hopes of sustaining your bossness. Okay? It's to like, oh yeah, I'll give you 3 initiations, but there's one. You know, you're not really ready for that one. And we'll keep going with these classes that you're paying me for. And you know what I mean? It's like you withhold something because you want to stay in charge. Bhikkhu means to withhold Dharma in the hopes of staying in charge, right? Like, if the students ever learned everything you know, then what would you do? You know? So that's bhikkhu. But this is a... So it's a beautiful word to know. I guess it's a mental affliction that could only exist in a culture that had a decent Dharma. Right? But here it's shube do, the sutra requested by. So now we know samten bhikkhu is the name of some guy. Thank God. Now, why did his mom name him Dharma Cheap Meditator? You know, we don't have to deal with that. Because it's just a name. Okay? You know, weird mom. But, you know, when you're translating, it'd be nice to check and see if the Sanskrit was ever identified. Because you'd rather use his original name. This is a translation of his name. So it'd be nice to get... you wouldn't call him water from a corpse. Unboiled water from a corpse. You'd call him by his correct name, which is what? Mako Rochu. Mako Rochu. This is Geshe Mako Rochu. Unboiled maku rochu, water from a corpse. Nice to meet you. Why did your mom call you unboiled water from a corpse? So we would like to find the Sanskrit. We're looking for Michael Roach right now. Okay. And I can tell you, because I was so intrigued by the name, I already checked, and I don't think it's in the... I don't think anybody knows. What does it tell you about this sutra if the only way he can identify it is as quoted in Prasanapada? What does it tell you about the sutra itself? It's probably gone. It's probably lost. Okay? We have no... the sutra is gone forever. Okay? People will say that about the 200,000 books in St. Petersburg unless we do something. Now. Okay? And it's not to put a guilt trip on your head or anything. They'll say, as quoted in the ACIP catalog of 2005, last time the book was heard of. You see, if it's not scanned now, you're going to have lots of books like that. He's cataloged them, 130,000 books, but we have no other record of them. If those were burned tomorrow, there'd be no other record of them. It would be as quoted in the ACIP catalog. All we have is the author and the guy who, the scribe. You know, we don't know what this book said. Because they were too lazy to put up $10,000 a year to scan them. Anyway, okay. I'm not pressuring or anything. Okay. Consider the quotation. Consider the words from the sutra requested. Right. See, now I can... just put the Tibetan, which is really lame, samten bhikkhu, as quoted in clear words. Dukkhanatma, how's it go, Nelly? Dukkhanatma, Dukkhanatma, how's it start? Shouch. Nitya suchi dukkhanatma anatman. Nitya suchi shuchi dukkhanatma dukkhanatma
Nitya Suchi Sukatmasu. It's in the Yoga Sutra to see that which is unclean, unclean, ashachi, impermanent, has no self, no suffering and has no self. Let's write them, say them again. Pure, impure, impermanent, impure, suffering, and selfless. Yeah. It's in the Yoga Sutra, actually. The Chinji Lokshi, the four asked backwards. It's not just mistaken, it's, what do you call it? There's a word in English. There's a more literary expression. The antithetically. Who said antithetic? Yeah. It's antithetically. It's to view them antithetically. You don't just misunderstand. You don't just don't understand that things are impermanent. You think they're permanent. You don't just misunderstand them and think they're... You don't misunderstand their suffering. You think they're a pleasure. Like that, okay? Chinji Lokshi. So how are we going to do it? How are you going to say it? Their mind, this person's... I can tell you then that this person's mind will be corrected by the corrupted by the four. Chinji Lopas. Antithetical view. Huh? You see, it has to be diametrically. Who said that? By the four diametric. Can we say diametric mistakes? No, nobody ever said that. Total mistakes? I like S backwards. I like S backwards. Total mistakes. I'm gonna fake it for now. Okay. Polar opposites. You could say mistakes which hold to the polar opposites or something, but anyway. Backwards view. Backward views. That's okay. I can tell you then that this person's mind will be corrupted by the four backward views. Okay? And they will never be able to move beyond this cycle of pain, impure as it is. Okay? And the Buddha said, okay? Sorry? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why is he talking to a tantric deity this way? Huh? Manjushri. He's just a bodhisattva in the sutras. Okay, he's not a tantric deity. So Lord Buddha's like telling him, he's talking to him as if he were just a regular disciple, which all he was emanating as at the time. Okay? I really wanted to debate tonight and already had some debaters chosen, but I think it got too late. And I think it would just be... I think Lama Christie's class would go really late. I have to get up and do my practice. I don't know what you guys are doing tomorrow. All right, we'll do a little one. Okay, we'll do a little one, but I don't like it. We should try to be on time. Okay, all right. Okay, we got to clear a road here. And then I selected two Australians. Maybe I'll throw in a third one. Nah, yeah, you want? Did you ever do one? You did one already. Okay, so I'd like Jason and Darcy. Just Jason and Darcy. She's honorary... She's an honorary... What's the...
So Ava, remind me to give you the scans and show you how to find what you want.
This is for the recording.
I think Vilma's going to help me. You ready? Okay. What's the first thing we do?
Bow.
Yeah, very respectfully. This is the last respectful thing we do. This is still in the scriptures, in the ancient sutras. Sen, Bab, you know, Trakpa Sar. Rangya Tupa. Rangya Tupa.
Rangya Tupa.
Mayimba.
Mayimba.
Tokna.
Tokna.
Yamon Pangbe.
Yamon Pangbe.
Rangya Tupa.
Rangya Tupa.
Mayimba.
Mayimba.
Tokna.
Tokna.
Taba Tobe. Taba
Tobe.
As a Yamon Pangbe. Yamon Pangbe. You can get rid of your mental afflictions if you just understand that you're not in control of things.
Chichi.
Aki la.
Chichi.
We didn't say tau. We said we just made a statement. No, we just made a statement. Why don't you say mayin? Or you just say no. See, teacher is a response to tell. Okay? You say you can say no, or you can say mayin. Okay, mayin. So we check to make sure. Rangya tupa togna. Rangya tupa togna. Nyomong ma pangba ta. Nyomong ma pangba ta. So it must be the case that you can understand that you're not in control, but still not eliminate your mental affliction.
The
Nyomo. Rangya Tupa.
Rangya Tupa.
Tongwale.
Tongwale.
Makewa Tha. So you're telling me that you could never get a mental affliction from thinking you were in control. Good. So not necessarily the case, okay? Just because you can get a mental affliction by thinking you're in control doesn't mean that if you didn't think you were in control, you could get rid of your mental affliction. Duh. Oh, that's a tough one. Rangya Tupa. Rangya Tupa Mayimba. Rangya Tupa Mayimba.
Rangya Tupa Mayimba.
Rangya.
Rangya.
Tupa Mayimba.
Tupa
Mayimpa. Togna. Mapamba Tha. So you don't get rid of your mental afflictions if you understand you're not in control. La.
La.
Rangya Tupa. Togna. Mapamba Tha. So it's not the case that you get rid of your mental afflictions if you do perceive that you're not in control. Good. Who asked? Yeah. So you're allowed to jump in from the peanut gallery, and that's healthy, especially if they're stuck. So he said, what kind of mental afflictions? Okay? What kind of mental afflictions? Shedang Chuchen. Shedang Chuchen. Let's talk about anger. Shedang Chuchen. Rangya Tupa Togna.
Rangya Tupa Togna.
If you perceive that you're not in control, Shedang Pambeche. You get rid of your anger. Oh. So let's just take the example like if someone starts to say, Geshe Michael, you're stupid, right? But I realize that I don't have any control over the pleasant moment. It's ripening from my past karma. I can't do anything about it. And then if I don't get angry, I don't have mental affliction in that moment. So by understanding that I'm not in control, I got rid of that mental fiction. Say Amis, what did you say? Tamaju. So, if at the moment that someone calls me stupid, if I reflect that I'm not really in control of that moment anymore because it's from my past karma, I will get angry. Because you said, when I said, that if I understood I wasn't in control, I wouldn't get angry, I was wrong. Oh, so there's something between not getting angry and getting angry. No, I'm saying, if I understand that I'm not in control at that moment, I won't get angry. Yes or no? Duh. So understanding that I'm not getting control has eliminated my mental affliction. Yeah. Yeah. Reshik. Say Reshik. Ngungyorwa. The manifest form, the gross form, for the time being. Pangbecher. It's eliminated. Pamata. So it's eliminated. For the time being and its gross manifestation, is eliminated. So it's eliminated. Is it a mental affliction? Have I eliminated it? Have I eliminated it by understanding that I'm not in control? So doesn't the view that I'm not in control eliminate a mental affliction? So I'm going back to you. Rangya tupa mayim batog na rangya tupa mayim. So I can get rid of a mental affliction if I just understand that I'm not in control.
When you say rangya tupa,
rangya tupa zeyu kitong, rangya tupa zeyu.
Why is that translated as I'm?
Substantial and self-standing is explained by Changya Rupa Dorje in his Drupta Chemo as referring to I'm in control. Just trust me. It is. Yeah, it is. There's a driver. There's a Michael who's running the show. If Michael were cleverer, Ritesh wouldn't have called him stupid. If he had controlled the moment, if he had been better in his choice of friends or something, like he could have not been. There's an external things he could have manipulated and not had this problem. Okay? No, really. Okay? So, rangya tuba togna, nyomom pambecher. So your original thing is wrong, right? If you do see that you're not in control, you can eliminate your mental afflictions.
You can eliminate some.
Yeah. You can eliminate some, right? So, rangya tuba. Zimba. And Demba Zimba.
Dawa Memata.
There's no connection between thinking you're in control and thinking you're real. Rangya tupa Zimba. Demba Zimba Nila. Dawa Yupa. So there is a connection between thinking you're in control and thinking you're real. Demba Zimba. What is holding your real mean? Vilma. Demba Mayimbata. So you're telling me that Vilma's not real. Let's do it again. Vilma. Demba. Money matter! Dota! What's that? What's that? This is how you say you should be ashamed. Demba mayimata. Labda.
Labda, labda.
Labda, labda.
Say something, man.
Labda, labda.
Labda. La. Say la. La.
La.
I didn't quite catch
it.
Ah, Dilma Chu Chen. Dilma. Dilma Chu Chen.
Dilma Chu Chen.
Demba.
Demba.
Mayimbata.
Mayimbata.
Dilma Chu Chen. Dilma Chu Chen.
Dilma Chu Chen.
Seme Mikpa Mayimbata.
Seme Mikpa Mayimbata.
She cannot. I'm not seeing Dilma right now. With a correct perception. Oh, Dilma Chu Chen. Seme Mikpata. Seme Mikpata. So I do perceive it with a pramana. I do perceive it with a correct perception. So Demba Yimbata. So she is true. So even though you perceive Vilma with a normal, unaffected perception, Mebata, she doesn't exist. Demba mayimbe, because she's not real. So can it, you can exist and not be real. Ho ho ho! Dilma Chuchen, she exists, and she's not real. Unreal yente. So unreal, unreal gichur sho. Show me something that's unreal or not real. Show me anything else that's not real. All right, let's two-headed purple elephant. We have one in the car. Two-headed. Long chen. Long chen.
Long chen.
Marun. Marun. Go ni yoken. Let's take a two-headed purple elephant. Unreal in the answer. It's not real. Right? Unreal yimbata. Because it couldn't exist. So a two-headed purple elephant is not unreal because it can't exist. So it's unreal because it can exist. It's unreal because it both can and cannot exist. It's unreal because it cannot exist and cannot not exist. So Aryanagarjuna was mistaken when he said if you eliminated the four possibilities, you eliminated all possibilities. Na. Dembitseni karisha. Dembitseni karisha. How do you describe real? We want Darcy to do this. It exists by itself, is what it means by real. Right? Okay. So, Lang Chen.
Lang Chen.
Marmu.
Marmu.
Goni Yuken.
Goni Yuken.
An elephant, two-headed purple elephant, is unreal in behavior. It's unreal, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to a normal elephant, which is real. Elephant mebata. So there are no elephants. They are just unreal elephants. Right. So to stand in front of a two-headed purple elephant and to stand in front of a raging real elephant is the same thing. So it's not the same thing. So there's a difference in their reality. That's not what I asked. Is there a difference in their reality that would not make you not want to stand in front of the second kind? Is it the same danger to stand in front of each of them? So they don't have the same level of reality. Right? One's real, one's not real. One can kill you and one can't kill you. Vilma Chuchan, Mevata. So Vilma doesn't exist then. Right? Vilma Mevata. Vilma doesn't exist. Listen. Vilma doesn't exist, right? Duh? Oh. Vilma. Vilma Seme Mikba Mevata. So I can't perceive Vilma with my normal undrunk perceptions. You can perceive Vilma with normal, unstoned, unjealous perceptions. So Vilma is real. So Vilma is the same as a two-headed purple elephant. Because a two-headed purple elephant is unreal.
Just because they're unreal doesn't mean
that she's unreal.
She doesn't exist.
She exists.
Oh. So Vilma is the same as a two-headed purple elephant.
The same in that they're both unreal.
Yeah. So she's unreal.
So,
and the other thing, it doesn't exist. So she doesn't exist. Because they're the same. They're both unreal.
They're both unreal, but that doesn't mean that Vilma doesn't exist.
So her unreality and the unreality of two-headed purple elephant are the same.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So, if Vilma whacks you with this mala in 30 seconds, it's the same as getting whacked on the head by a two-headed purple elephant with a mala. Because they're both equally unreal. I mean, this is where you find out if she really believes this. Okay, we got it. A non-existent thing and an existent thing are equally unreal.
Good.
So a non-existing thing has a quality of being unreal. So a non-existing thing can be a chur. Its unreality is a chur. And the non-existing thing is a chichen. It has the quality of not being real. The two-headed purple elephant has the quality of being real. That quality that quality pertains to the object.
The.
Right. So the object is supporting that quality. Yeah. The object it sustains that quality. It holds that quality. Good. So chö yimbata. Yeah, a two-headed purple elephant is a thing. Good. So a two-headed purple elephant exists. No, it supports a quality. It's holding up a quality. Yeah, it's functioning. Not only is it a thing, it's a functioning thing. It's a functioning thing, not just a thing. Yeah, a non-existent thing is a thing. It's supporting a quality. It's holding up a quality. Wait, I just asked this. Does it have a quality?
Good.
So it's supporting that quality.
No.
Right? It's holding a quality. It's not there and it's holding a quality.
It's not there and it's holding a quality.
Yeah. It doesn't exist and it's sustaining a quality. I'm just repeating. I did not hold this position. I'm just repeating.
That's what you said.
So it's a chichen, right?
No.
It's holding a quality. It's a dharma. It's holding a quality. Rangi ngo zimbe, chugi tseni yimbe. Rangi ngo zimbe, chugi tseni yimbe. You know, holding some quality of its own is the definition of an existing thing. Yeah. So a two-headed purple elephant is an existing thing. It's sustaining its quality of being unreal. Good. So all you people have to buy helmets tomorrow. Because two-headed purple elephants might run through the temple.
You just said they exist. They exist.
Because that's the quality, but that doesn't mean
there's an abundance. Oh, so even though a two-headed purple elephant possesses its qualities, it can't run to the temple. So it only possesses certain qualities. Like being unreal.
Huh? Like being the subject of this debate.
Okay. So it's a subject. Right. So it exists.
Yeah.
Two-headed purple elephant.
That's right.
So a two-headed purple elephant is different from the idea of a two-headed purple elephant. Because we're discussing the idea of a two-headed purple elephant. Because we can't discuss a two-headed purple elephant because they don't exist. Two-headed purple elephant exists. Outside of the idea of a two-headed purple elephant.
What do you mean outside the idea of this?
Independent of the idea of a two-headed purple elephant.
Independent
of the idea? And outside, a two-headed purple elephant that we could corral and like lead
thing.
Around the debate ground exists.
It is that thing. It's
the idea.
It's the idea.
Okay. So there's no difference between the idea of an elephant and the idea of a two-headed purple elephant.
I don't think so. No.
Good. So you could, you have to worry if you're walking through India, you have to worry that a two-headed purple elephant might trample you. Why not if they're at the same level of existence as a real elephant?
It's an idea doesn't mean that it's an actual physical thing.
Say again?
Just because it's an idea doesn't mean that it's an actual physical thing.
Okay, so a two-headed purple elephant is not a natural physical thing. Oh, actual physical thing. Good. So it's not actual.
It's not a physical thing.
A two-headed purple elephant is not an actual physical thing.
Okay.
To use your own words.
All right.
So,
actual fact.
So it's not actual.
It's not a physical thing.
where were we? Okay, last thing. As an object of your... Let's do Darcy, okay? So, as an object of your mind, two-headed purple elephant, maybe, it can't exist as an object of the mind. Can it or not? Just answer it. Don't think too much. Say what you think. Can it exist as an object of the mind? A two-headed purple elephant?
Sure.
Yeah. Can it upset you? Can a person get all flustered by desire for a thing that doesn't even exist? Yeah. yeah. So, can't we say then that that thing that doesn't exist performs a function? Because it inspires desire in somebody. Right? Or it inspires upset in someone's mind. It can upset a person's mind.
Yeah.
So it's a...
The idea can.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Let's say the concept of the idea of the elephant can upset you,
sure.
Even though it doesn't exist.
Right.
So something that doesn't exist can upset you. So if something performs a function, it doesn't mean that it's a thing.
I didn't say that.
Person you got desire towards that was just an emanation didn't exist, but it made you frustrated, or it got you, what did you, flustered, right? Yin beitu. So in a sense it exists now, because it cannot, you can't, something can't push something can't inspire an emotion if it doesn't have any existence. You see what I mean?
It has an imaginary existence.
Yeah, good, that's what he's saying. Correctly. He's saying correctly. So a thing you imagine to exist can upset you.
Yeah.
Can we say that anything that upsets you is only a thing that you imagine exists and doesn't really exist? Can we say that it's a measure of your understanding of an object, that if it can make you upset, you are misunderstanding it? Can we say that if something can upset you, then there's a measure of unreality about that very thing?
Yes.
Or in fact, that the whole thing can't exist.
thing can't exist.
That it's entirely non-existent. If a thing can upset you, aside from your imagination, right, of it, but the thing that you're imagining can't exist, that's a gaksha. Can we say that? Can you truly get upset if you understand the nature of a thing? Can a thing make you upset if you understand its nature? Once you figure out that it's you who put the water on the bathroom floor, do you ever really get upset?
Is it your past?
Some, but not really. Not really. Okay. So can we say that anytime you feel a negative emotion, this is towards something which cannot exist at all? And that's the irony of our whole existence. Okay. You do. There's no end to samsara. We stopped in cheer. We ended in cheer. So she has to say, Tamadru. Say Tamadru. With authority. Tamadru. Korvalata. Yavata. So you're saying there is an end to samsara?
That's right.
Shit. Why? Here it comes. Be ready to cheer. If they ever get it, I mean, you know.
Wisdom is greater.
Let's go. Yeah, in Tibetan. Say, help her out. Say, Nyambo.
Nyambo.
You ready to cheer? Okay. Nyambo.
Nyambo.
Topten.
Topten.
Yebe cheer. Okay. What did you say?